All right, if any children want to come up to the front, we'll get started on our kids' message this morning. Thank you, Marley. Tough as ever. You're the only one. No pressure. Okay. So we'll kind of continue back what we talked about last week for those listening online today. Our topic is covenant mercy. And so last week, Marley, why did Israel grow impatient? Well, yeah, because Moses had been on Mount Sinai for weeks, right? The one who led them is up here for a while, and they're like, what do we do? Where's our leader? Well, I guess we'll do what's right in our own eyes at that point. What did Israel do in their impatience? Man, word for word, right. Yeah, you probably know it more than I do. Yeah, they told Aaron to make a golden calf and worship it. So, and that's what we're going to go into. And our scripture for today's reading is going to be Exodus 32. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 14. And so real quick, I'll read these questions so get an idea. So for everyone to think about as we read it, how did God respond to Israel's idolatry? How did Moses respond to God's righteous anger towards Israel's sin? And how did God respond to Moses' prayer? So think of those points as I read the scripture today. So Exodus 32, 7 through 14 says, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, and have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I have commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, these are your gods. O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt?' And Yahweh said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, they are stiff-necked people.'" Wow. Right there. "Now let me alone." "Now let me alone that my anger may burn against them and that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." Then Moses entered in the favor of Yahweh his God and said, "O Yahweh, why does your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a strong hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and consume them for the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent concerning doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself. And you said to them, 'I will multiply your seed and the stars of heaven and all this land which I have spoken, and I will give your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.' So Yahweh relented concerning the harm which he had said he would do to his people." A lot of scripture there, a lot going on in that verse. So let's slow back to our question. So how did God respond to the idolatry of Israel at that point? He was mad, yeah. But what kind of anger was it? What's something we don't have that he has in that? It's a holy anger. Yes. He responded in holy, strong anger, telling Moses that he was going to destroy Israel for their sin. And we know God's patience and how long his patience is. Good, thank you. So how did Moses respond to God's righteous anger towards Israel's sins? What did Moses do for that? Yeah, prayed to God. He prayed to God asking to remember his promises. Okay. He reminded him like, hey, these are the promises you made. So he's praying to God. He's trying to plead for them who he brought out of Egypt. And now we come back to how did God respond to Moses' prayer. Remember that? God turned away his anger. Yeah, did not wipe out Israel like they deserved. There's the word, deserved. just imagining. I think we talked yesterday about Adam, how he could say what he said to God right there, right after everything. Just the natural sin of man, right? And so there they were, left alone. They deserved to be it, but he had mercy for them. So what's the main point? Through God, sinful people deserve judgment, right? But he shows them mercy through a mediator. Let's go in our text. So for weeks, Moses was on the mountain with God, receiving detailed plans for the tabernacle, which was the special tent where God would live to be worshipped. But he had no idea that as God was giving these instructions, Israel was instructing Aaron to make a golden calf to worship. So God already knew it, but Moses didn't. And so behind the scenes, they were telling Abram, hey, let's make this golden calf, let's worship it. Moses may have been clueless, but God was not. Praise God, he is sovereign. He is the one who sees and knows all things. And as Moses prepared to go to the mountain, God told him about Israel's rebellion. And while Israel had accursed Moses with being slow to return to them, God now accuses Israel with being quick to turn away from him. And very quick to it. Look how they turned away from me, who brought them out after 400 years of slavery. Their necks were stiff with idolatry.
Wow.
In those days, a farmer would place a wooden yoke. If I get this wrong, bear with me. But they'd place a wooden yoke on the necks of oxen to direct them. So a stiff-necked animal was one that refused to wear its master's yoke. How interesting term there. So Israel was like this. Here's the yoke, God. And they said, no, I'm not going to follow that. They didn't like that. So God had placed a covenant yoke on them through his law. It was a good yoke, and it would lead to life and happiness. But Israel refused to wear it. And in the rebellion, they broke the covenant with God. Oof. So God was prepared to wipe them out in holy judgment. Remember, everything that God does is holy. Holy anger, holy righteous judgment. That's his. Holy, holy, holy. And he would have it if Moses had not stepped in as Israel's mediator. So it says, do you remember what a mediator does? You have any idea? Yeah, it's like that bridge. I know we talked about Jacob's ladder a long time ago where there was God and man, and the person on the ladder was Christ in that dream or that vision, I believe. And so he's the one that mediates between us. So he stands between two parties that are at war with one another, which is true because what we talk about today, we have enmity with Christ, those unbelievers, those with his wrath poured upon them, and seeking to reunite them in peace. And so instead of leaving Israel to be destroyed, as they deserve, Moses stood between them, and God praying and arguing case before God. So why should God show grace to his idol-worshipping people? Well, he gave them three reasons why. So Israel was God's whom he has lovingly saved. He's already chosen. He's already chosen in that sense. He was already there that he lovingly saved. The nations that didn't worship God would question his goodness if he wiped out Israel. So they would, you know, they pose some questions like, why would a God wipe out the whole nation, you know? And then thirdly, God's promise to Abraham couldn't come to pass if Israel was destroyed. He's not going to break his promises. We know God doesn't break promises that he makes. And the nation of Israel is going to be through that, right? So Moses prayed according to God's works and words, with a passion for God's name. Through faithful meditation, Israel was saved from God destroying them. And there's this verse in Psalm 106, and I'm just going to read it quickly for you. It's Psalm 106, 19 through 23, and it says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image, being what we talked about with Israel. Thus, they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. Whew. Would you exchange your glory for an ox that eats grass? Well, they did it. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham and awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath for eradicating them. Wow. That was important that we need a mediator today for God, right? A perfect mediator. And so what does it say here? What does the psalmist teach us about Moses' role in the story? So that psalm I just read to you, it says, what did the psalmist teach us about the role of Moses in the story? Yeah. To stand between idol-worshipping Israel and God so that Israel not be destroyed as they deserve. Still deserved. There's justice in there too. So what lessons did Moses teach us about prayer? If you get this word for word, I'm going to be impressed. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I get it, Drew. That's it. So first, true prayer doesn't just ask God to do things, but God gives reasons why he should do these things. Secondly, true prayer comes from an understanding of who God is. And that comes back to it. Some people may say, well, Moses prayed and changed God's mind. And that's a common thing people like to believe. But I like to see in Scripture as we pray according to his will. So he already had this plan. We talk about nothing surprises God. So this was already planned in the plan of redemption for his people from the lineage to come through with Christ. So it was already planned. Nothing surprises him. But he wants us to pray to him as a loving father, as we should as believers. So, we have to understand who God is, who his will is, and what we should seek for and desire. So, the true prayer comes from an understanding of who God is and his promises to us. And then third, true prayer gets its energy from a passion for God's glory. You see the passion that Moses had to pray to seek God out in that. It's a good answer. So why do people need a mediator to know God's blessing? Who is the mediator of the new covenant? Yes, Jesus Christ. But we need one because, like Israel, we are sinners. We are sinners, worshiping idols instead of the true God. And while Moses was an imperfect mediator, though a mediator, but imperfect, who served for only a limited time, he pointed forward to the perfect and everlasting mediator, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible teaches that Jesus ever lives in heaven to be the mediator for his people, so nothing can separate them from God's love and mercy. And that's all I had today, that we understand that main point. Let me just reiterate that main point to you, that through God, sinful people deserve judgment, yet he shows them mercy through a mediator, which we know is Christ Jesus. Amen to that. Let's go ahead and go into prayer, and we'll get started with worship tonight. Father, we thank you so much for this time in your word. We thank you for the examples in scripture to see that, you know, we see Moses, who he was a mediator to them in Israel, but to us, he was an imperfect mediator. And it reflects to the shadow to come who Christ is, the true mediator, who bridges us between him and God. And now when God sees us as believers, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees God's righteous, or Christ's righteousness there, the perfect life he lived out on our behalf, Lord. And we're grateful for that. We're so grateful for that undeserved favor from your grace, Lord. And we pray that we take these teachings and go forward with that, knowing that Christ is the perfect mediator. And it's in your name we pray, amen.